Blog Talk Radio.
Health, vaccines, and mandates. What's Ulu got to do with it? We'll talk about that in a few minutes. Please stay with us. Our roots began in Africa, where we enjoyed self-determination, freedom, and sovereignty. Peace, family, welcome to Dare to Win, the Us Lifting Us weekly radio program that airs every Thursday evening from 9 p.m. to 10 p.m. Eastern Time. Dare to Win is the place where we have sobering conversation about the economic plight of Black people and the imperative that we build the global economic machinery that will free us and once again put us on the path of making history. We at Us Lifting Us have developed an exact methodology on how to build this machinery and pass it forward to our children and future generations. To join tonight's conversation, please call 929-477-2789. Press the number 1 on your phone when you want to make a comment or ask a question. If you'd rather listen on your computer, go to www.assistingus.com. Scroll down to the bottom of the homepage, click on the Dare to Win button, then click on Listen Live. You'll be at the Blog Talk Radio website at that time. My name is Sister Q, and joining me for this evening's discussion is Brother Shabaka, who, like me, is a member of UPS. Peace, Brother Shabaka. How you doing tonight?
Peace, sister. I'm doing very well. And let me greet the listening family. And I really appreciate the opportunity of you having me on.
We look forward to having you, especially as you're discussing various health situations at this time. So, Brother Shabaka, what does ULU have to do with health, vaccines, and mandates? Isn't ULU a business?
Yes, Sister Q, thank you so much for that question, and you're quite right. ULU is a business. In fact, it's a business of businesses. But let me share with you and share with the listening audience, the listening family, what our vision and missions are. One, to be the premier and preferred global economic cooperative community for people of African descent. Let me repeat that. Our vision, and keep this in mind, this is our vision of how we see moving about through the cosmos, through the years, through the future, to be the preferred and premier global economic cooperative community for people of African descent, and that's built on sustaining a legacy of global cooperative business institutes for the economic sovereignty of people of African descent. The foundation of that is our virtue and values stemming from the Agudo Saba, as well as Ma'at. It has to be African-centered. All right, now, having said that, but it's important to say that because the audience may not be attuned to how we see ourselves and the importance of how we see ourselves as we move through the future, all right? And so I want to take that with that foundation, Ma'at and Nguzo Saba, all right? Mm-hmm. This is the foundation of setting up an economic cooperative community as well as business institutes, which lays the foundation of our economic sovereignty for people globally of African ancestry. Now, let me reinforce that and jump to the question that you asked. Specifically, before I had answered the question or dealt with the question of health, and let me take this opportunity to redefine health that I posed the last time I was here. For our purposes, for this discussion, I'm going to define health being or being healthy as a state of physical, mental, social, and spiritual well-being in which disease or diseases are absent. In other words, the state of not being at ease creates the condition of diseases or disease.
Uh-huh.
All right. So if we look at that, the objective that we're trying to acquire is to be in a state of harmony with ourselves, with our family, with our community, with the world, all right, and have a spiritual connection such that it sustains us as we move about. Now, if we look at being healthy and try to associate that with working, all right, I go to work 9 to 5. 9 to 5. Can I be productive if I go to work from 9 to 5? Now, I'm working for somebody, right? Let's say I'm working for somebody. I'm not working for myself. Okay. Can I be productive if I got a headache and hate the job that I'm going to work for, but I got to go to work, you know, because I got to pay my bills and I got to eat? It's a little difficult. I may even feel stress, right?
Right.
Well, if I feel stress, all right, difficult to go to work, as stress impacts me physically, it's already impacting me mentally and emotionally, affects my relationship with members of my family and, of course, members of my community, all right, am I going to be as productive? And how soon will I find myself overcome by diseases or not being at ease as a consequence of what I'm going through in order to try to feed myself, clothe myself, and take care of my bills. It's going to be pretty difficult. Would you say not?
I would say absolutely it would be very difficult. Yeah.
All right.
It would be very difficult.
Yeah, it would be extremely difficult for any person, I think. You know, and right now, if we look at the, you know, at least 70 to 75% of black people in this country, and we could probably extend that to other areas of the globe, but with specifically with the statistics of this country, you know, we have one or more comorbidities, which means sicknesses, all right?
Uh-huh.
So we have we have diseases. We have problems. We're not healthy. And that's three-quarters of the population. We're not healthy, all right? All right, because more than likely we are subjected to the kind of stress being in an environment that is hostile not only to us working, but is hostile to our physical being and presence. Consequently, we're not healthy. So if Ulu is concerned about sustaining a legacy of global cooperative business institutes, it's going to be extremely difficult, and those institutes are going to be manned or peopled by people of African descent. We got to be healthy.
No doubt. We got to be focused.
All right, we cannot come to work manning our own, all right, and expectly to be able to have economic sovereignty for people of African descent if we are sick. I want the family to understand that, and I'm not belittling the fact that, you know, members of your family, maybe even yourself, you know, may be sick, all right, and have the, you know, the common diseases that afflict people of African descent in this country. I'm not belittling that. I'm just saying that our constant, the programs that we have dealing with health is to bring the importance of being healthy, all right, because we have work to do in order to meet the vision and mission that I stated a little earlier. All right. So that's the importance. Now let me rein it in a little bit more dealing with the health thing. You know that when we are sick, we usually go to a primary care doctor. We got to have insurance to pay that primary care doctor, who will do a preliminary investigation in 15 minutes. They don't have too much longer than that, all right?
Right.
And then they recommend a specialist, all right, which I would have to go and see, all right, who in turn would tell me that I have to take, well, the primary care doctor might say the same thing. I have to, you know, after doing a preliminary examination, if he or she can diagnose what's wrong with me, and hopefully they are correct, we'll recommend some pills, you know, by a pharmaceutical, from a pharmaceutical, all right? Or I go to the specialist, who will probably do the same thing and might recommend going inside of me.
Right.
You understand what I'm doing? All right. So that's the healthcare system, or rather the sick care system that we find ourselves. And we don't know of any other system, because the system of industrial complex, the health sick care industrial complex operating in this country, is not allowing for any healthcare system to evolve, because it can't be profitable if you get well from your being not at ease or disease.
Exactly, right, yeah.
Okay, I have to keep you ill. That's why if you have high blood pressure, you take medication for life. You say, well, can't you cure me of the high blood pressure? You know, you got sugar diabetes. You got
it.
Right.
Or
you're on dialysis or anything like that, you're on that for life. All right, your kidneys are going for life, so there is nothing. All right, there is no incentive to try to cure you as much as it is to sustain you, you know, with the current system or treatment for your illness. All right, that's what we find ourselves involved in. The importance of Ulu in setting up businesses And let me just give you a real good example. You know, one of the flagships of Uber, which we are developing and really fine-tuning, and, you know, a lot of people caught on to this and have contributed as a consequence of that vision, all right, was the Ulu Mart, which is the Ulu Marketplace, all right? The marketplace, people, the immediate visualization of that marketplace is to think of Walmart. Well, Walmart have items that it sells for Walmart. But now I want you to think of even a store, a superstore like Walmart, which is composed of different businesses, different black vendors who are engaged in conversation, all right, and communication with themselves, all right, how to serve the community, all right?
Right.
Now, part of those businesses is going to be health businesses. I mean, health care, not only sick care, but health care, all right?
Right.
And that, hi, how you doing? All right, so that health care. Excuse me for a minute, I'm going to have to move away from where I am. So we have health care, all right? So the health care is going to be more in terms of health, because if we look at the fundamentals that I just spoke of earlier, that the foundation of our economic order has to be Maat and the Nguzo Saba, all right, then we say that in Ulu that we are a family centered co-op. That means then I have to look at you with respect, all right, I have to look at you with love, and have to look at you as providing a service for somebody that I respect, have feelings towards, all right, for sustaining the family, the community, the nation, all right. And if I'm doing that, I cannot see you as a commodity in order to profit from. Does that make sense?
Yes, it makes a lot of sense. Yes.
Yeah, so if you look at that, and I want to point this out to the listeners, all right, that what we're trying to do is create a situation where we begin to say, well, look, I don't have to take this. I don't have to, you know, be concerned with this. I don't have to demonstrate on the street to beg Europeans and the white boy, you know, to take care of me. We have enough resources among ourselves. We have enough talent among ourselves to take care of ourselves. All right.
Mm-hmm.
All we have to do is have the mindset to do it. So if we're complaining that we're not healthy, all right, and we're going to the European doctor or the African European trained doctor, all right, then, all right, we can't I'm sorry. I didn't hear you. You still there? Can you hear me?
Yes, I'm here. I can hear you.
Okay, I'm sorry. Then the European trained doctor or the African who is European trained, then the kind of quality care that we have is no more than the quality of care that we see exhibited throughout the United States today.
Keep this
in mind, that the fourth leading cause of death generally, not with just black folks, if we looked at it, it might be even higher for us, but the fourth leading cause of death in this country is medical malpractice, misdiagnosis. Uh-huh. All right. And therefore, and it's not misdiagnosis of institutions that I control, this misdiagnosis of institutions that is controlled by the Europeans. So let me just stop here a minute, you know, because I've been talking. I didn't know if you had a question you want to follow up on.
Well, I did want to interject at the point where you were talking about being dissatisfied with your work and having to go to work anyway. And we see cases where people are let off from their work on disability. So now they don't have to go to work and they get better. And they're, you know, they're staying home, they're doing what they like to do or whatever, and their health improves. And then they go for, you know, the checkup with the doctor to see how they're doing. And the doctor says, oh, you're well enough to go back to work. And they go back to work and get sick again. And we are not looking at that with the eyes to see that the cause of the sickness then or the disease is the job. You know, we just, you know, we have to go to work. That's the whole attitude that we are taught to maintain, even if we hate the job, you know. And that's why so many people, they say, die of heart attack on Monday morning at 8 o'clock because they'd rather die than go back to the work for this week, you know. So all of these things, I think, would be addressed in the ULU model as you're talking about it. That's me.
That's exactly right, because you will enjoy your work, because the fruits of your labor, all right, is not being given to someone else. You know, you're producing the fruits. You are like an owner worker of the establishment, you know, as a uh-huh. Hulu member, and you know, a member with units, cooperative units in that organization. So therefore, you're benefiting from that. You're taking part. You are also part of the governance as a member of Hulu. You have uh-huh. One man and one vote, all right, as to what needs to be invested in. What needs to take place? What quality of care needs to be had if health is your field? You don't uh-huh. have that say. You come to the doctor. The doctor sometimes doesn't even want to listen to you. Say, I feel like this. They try to make it feel like it's all in your mind. You say, well, uh-huh. no, doctor's not all in my mind. I feel it. He says, no, uh-huh. it's all in your mind. Essentially what he's calling you is an N-word. He said, look, I'm the one in charge here. Don't tell me what's all in your mind.
Don't tell me what's wrong you with you. Right.
Yeah, I'm in charge here. I'm the European. I'm the white boy. I'm telling you what's uh-huh. what everything is. Yeah, so we don't have that in our setting. The key is that we don't have that in our setting. Consequently, the stress in confronting, you know, that barrage of hostility daily, weekly, uh-huh. yearly, you know, is removed. All right. And then quality of health, because the whole idea is to keep you healthy and also keeps you in tune, keeps you spiritual. And I'm not talking about religious. If religion is, you know, a way in which you can manifest your spirituality, good. But I'm talking about connecting with family, friends, community, with black people, and I'll say other people right now for, you know, just to show that I'm not racist.
Nothing wrong with being racist. Come on now.
Right. It can't be that, right? But it allows
you to
because
be that. That's the whole point. I mean, really, that's the whole point. That's the best thing we can be, because we're looking out for ourselves. That's what a racist does, you know. So,
exactly.
I need to get myself a pin, racist and proud. Go ahead. I'm sorry. Let me stop interrupting you.
Oh, that's okay. But thank you for what you just said. So what we're trying to do is to enlighten our people that, you know, you have another alternative. In fact, when you look at those situations, when you look at those problems, you should look at ULU as being an antidote to all of that. Because, see, once you invest and involve yourself in ULU, all right, then we're not looking. We're not looking to make deals with the European. We're not looking to make deals with the Arabs. We're not looking to make deals, sorry. We're looking to cooperate effectively with ourselves, and we're not necessarily looking to other people. We're not disrespecting other people. I'm not going to get revenge for other people, but I'm not going to allow you to take advantage of me once I remove the shackles that you currently have on me.
Exactly. That's a good point. So kind of moving along, Brother Chewbacca, because we got a lot to cover and time is going fast. What about the vaccines? The title is Health, Vaccines, and Mandates. What about vaccines? ULU is not in the business of manufacturing vaccines, is it? or is it planning to be, or what?
No, we're in the business of moving our folks to a position where we do not depend on others, you know, that will dictate and write prescriptions for our health. All right. So no, we're not in vaccines. We're not. Well, I won't say that we're anti-vaccine because it might be a medical protocol by which vaccines might be used. In fact, let me put that into some context. I think people might not. I tried to identify last time I spoke what vaccines are used for. All vaccines are used to do, you know, from 100 years ago to present. And by the way, the concept was introduced by a brother who was enslaved from West Africa. Unfortunately, I won't say unfortunately. I don't want to bring that bad. he responded based on how he was trained, and he saw a European, probably his master, that was ill. He recalled the illness back in on the continent. And one of the things that the illness did was that they took, you know, person's blood, all right, and then injected or put that blood into another person so that it would be cured. In other words, a person who might have been infected by a virus, all right, what they did was just had produced antibodies to fight that virus. So what the antibodies are in your blood. So what the European was sick with, the African said, well, that's a similar kind of sickness I've seen back at home. And so he told him to take his blood and inject it into the European from what I heard cured him. You know, this is during the slave period back there. All right. So that's when they first thought of the idea of inoculation, antibody inoculation. All right. And so that developed a whole vaccine industry. But all vaccine are supposed to do is to stimulate your immune system, all right? Stimulate your immune system. We cure ourselves. That's all it does is stimulate your immune system, all right, such that if it's sluggish and if you have multiple kinds of comorbidities or diseases, all right, it's going to be sluggish because your immune system is trying to fight what you've been attacked. And you got to think of yourself as being attacked. Your body can basically handle anything that comes across unless it's been weaponized. I'll talk about that in a minute, too. All right, and I know that you want to rush through this.
No, it's been weaponized. Okay, go ahead.
Okay.
I want you to get all you want to say.
Okay. I'm gonna try to speed up, so I might start talking a little bit fast, and so let me bring it back to the point that you were raising about the vaccine. And then Ulu's not interested in vaccine, but that's all vaccines were. And they gotta be safe and efficient. All right, which means they have to be safe, you know, and they have to work. All right. And then the other thing, do you need it? You know, like I said, our bodies have its own immune system. It's just that when it's sluggish, that immune system might not respond like you want, and therefore there's a vaccine. So if the immune system is not responding like it has or is supposed to, then, yeah, you might need something to boost it up. But you got to make sure that it boosts the immune system up, and you don't necessarily have to give that particular prescription to somebody who's healthy whose immune system can handle. All right, now, there's basically two types of vaccines that is used for COVID. COVID-19 is the disease. The virus is called SARS-CoV-2, SARS-CoV-2. That's the virus. But now that virus has been gone, so they report in the news, you know, for a half a year now. We're supposed to be all dealing with nothing but variants, and I'll talk a little bit about that quickly. So we have two vaccines. They're not really vaccines. In fact, they're except one. The Johnson & Johnson is a traditional virus-based technology. What it is, it uses a disabled adenovirus, which is one that causes a little bit cold, and what they have done is manipulated and placed a spike protein from the coronavirus. All right, so therefore the adenovirus, you know, your system will recognize that and say, well, that's not going to hurt you. But it will identify that spike protein, and what it will is build antibody for that spike protein. All right, so that's your regular base by which viruses technology is built on. The Moderna and the Pfizer are two different technologies. What they've done is take the gene, a piece of the gene of the virus, and inject it, put it in a piece of fat. It's called a nanoparticle. Okay, it's a piece of fat. And the reason they put it in a piece of fat is because the fat, the cell will recognize the fat and absorb it so that it can go into the cell. All right.
Okay.
All right. And because the cell will look at the fat as food. All right. But inside of the inside of the fat is this mRNA technology. It's not a virus. It's a part. It's a messenger gene. All right.
Uh-huh.
From the virus. All right. And it goes in that. And then what it's supposed to do is use the chromosomes in your cells to create spike protein. The spike protein is that product, is that protein which is identified by your immune system. And then what that does is then build up an immune response to fight anything that comes into your body that has that spike protein. That's what it's supposed to do. All right. Well, that might sound good. That's what it's supposed to do. That's the Moderna and Pfizer. But now, let me point out this fact because it's extremely important. The top leadership of CDC are Jews. You say, well, Shabaka, are you against Jews? No, I'm pointing out that the top leadership in the CDC are Jews.
Uh-huh.
The CEO of Pfizer is a Turkish Jew who is also an Israeli citizen, all right, and he is responsible for distributing only the Pfizer technology, which is that mRNA, into Israel. And, we get a lot of data from them, all right?
Yes.
Consequently, from the data that we're getting, it's showing us that from the information that is coming from Israel, coming from, I believe, Italy, also coming from UK, England, all right, it's showing that this thing that they call a vaccine is injuring more people than it might be killing. In other words, they're saying for every one person that is saved by the vaccine, two people die. All right, so that's in fact that was the argument that was made just recently by the advisory to the FDA when they were trying to recommend the booster, and the advisory 16-2 said no, that thing ain't working right. We don't have enough information. The preliminary information that we are acquiring indicates that this thing that Pfizer has put together, is harming more people than it is saving. Now, this is their data. It's not my data. I didn't go out and do the data. I didn't go out and inoculate people in Israel. I'm only interpreting what some of the data that I see, and I don't have all the data, but this is what came on, and this is the data that was used by the people who made a presentation to FDA as to whether to approve the booster or not. All right, so I'm saying if thank you, Israel, for allowing the – because that's important to us. Now, I'm saying all this to say, the vaccine, you have to be informed about what this thing is, what's being placed in your body. Now, once you are informed, you can make the decision whether you want to take the stuff or not take the stuff, but we're not given that. Right now we have mandates, and I'm sure you want to ask some question about the mandates, but the vaccine is something that Ulu is not pushing because we already said, our objective is to build health, and whatever we do is not to be profit motive. And so, therefore, it has to be effective, and it has to be safe. And first of all, it has to be needed. And if your only immune system can take care of this, if you have a sluggish immune system, and we can see that the vaccine will stimulate it up such that it'll make it, but you got to be very careful. You have to be very careful at the what you use. Because what you use, it has to be researched very carefully, and it can't be person to person because we differ. All right. Even the African that I told you about earlier, Well, let me raise this. One, all human beings are 99.9% identical to each other. We're 99.9% identical to each other. That means that we have a 0.1% deviation from each other. So that means then Trump may be in my age range, but I don't look like Trump. Would you agree?
Okay. I would say.
But so. We have a 99.9% likeness. Okay.
Okay.
We have a 0.1% deviation, and Trump looks like Trump, and Chewbacca looks like Chewbacca. Okay. Interestingly, the chimpanzee who doesn't look anything like us is 98.8. So that's almost 99%. We're almost 99% identical. 98.8%. We are the same or look the same as a chimpanzee. So that means then even twins are not 100% identical. And it's easy to see that. One comes out first, all right, separated from the umbilical cord. The second one stays in there and still receiving nutrients from the mother that the first one no longer receives, right?
Okay.
In addition to that, there's a time factor. The person who's out is outside of the womb and now is affected by the external environment first, then the second one. So there's a slight deviation, which is why you can find identical twins that look almost the same, but they have different tastes. I'm just giving an example of why that taste might be, all right? They don't do everything exactly the same. All right, so even the virus and the antibodies that you acquire, keep in mind that even if I took my own antibodies and gave it to another person, it would still be, they would only have 99.9% effectiveness for that person who is 99.9% the same as me, but 1% different.
Okay.
Did I make any sense?
Yes, you did.
Did I make any sense?
Yes. Yeah.
Okay, all right.
Yeah.
Thank you. Now, so, you might say, well, what?
I wanted to ask you, what they're arguing over about Biden restricting to Florida and some other states the antibody treatment, is that basically what it is, the blood of somebody that's recovered?
What DeSantis is doing is having an antibody treatment, but it's synthetic antibodies, but that's good. All right, but what it does, remember now, this is synthetic. They're making these antibodies based on the variants or COVID itself. Now, we have very little COVID operating in the United States. Everything is variants, and particularly they say that the Delta variant, and I want to say something quickly about the Delta variant because there's a lot of misinformation about. Remember now, the Delta variant, COVID, and all of that, actually COVID, the virus that's caused COVID is called SARS-CoV-2. And that stands for Severe Acute Respiratory Syndrome, Coronavirus 2, okay? That means there was a 1. There was a 1 that broke out in 2002 in China, interestingly. And then there was a MERS, which is the same coronavirus. Regardless of the differentiation, they have to have the foundation is that they are coronavirus. You know, they come from a family of coronavirus, all right? And those coronaviruses don't deviate that much, the same way I just indicated that, all right, Trump and I are 99.9% identical and, about 0.1% different, all right?
Right.
So the coronavirus, it has to have the physiology, all right, and the properties of a family of coronaviruses, which, one, mostly infected animals. And the ones that we know that infect humans very slightly are those ones that you get a cold from, which you shake off. Now, except for SARS-CoV-2, MERS, now these are the ones that kill you. Uh-huh. And remember now, the former coronaviruses, the ones that you see mostly in animals, and the ones that are prior to that where you get a cough, they didn't kill you. But SARS-CoV-1 MERS, the Middle Eastern, will kill you. SARS-CoV-2 will kill you.
Okay.
All right? But they're still coronaviruses. So that means then if you get over coronaviruses, you build up an immunity because you went through it. You have antibodies now that protects you from the coronavirus generally. Mm-hmm. And as long as the antibodies can distinguish it from something that it is unable to identify. Now, what they're trying to put in the news is that the Delta variant doesn't look that much like the original virus. Well, it has to look right if they're going to call it the coronavirus. If it's not a coronavirus, then it's man-made. You get what I'm saying? All right, so it's man-made, all right? All right, now remember now, we have no information, to my knowledge, that a sequence took place of the virus that apparently started killing people and making people sick in Wuhan, China. All we got was an uploaded sequence of the virus. We have not isolated the virus here. We depended on the Chinese sequence. And that Chinese sequence allowed us, the Chinese sequence allowed us to build a test to identify people who may be infected with the coronavirus.
Okay.
All right.
Okay.
Now that's, and so as a consequence of that, we're relying primarily on the Chinese, all right, for the information about the coronavirus. We're relying, I don't know what we're relying on the variants, because I don't know what the variants look like. All right.
Right.
So the only thing that we have, all right, the only thing that we have is their words, and if we trust them, then they're supposed to be somewhat quasi enemy of us, the U.S. Not us. They're not my enemy.
Uh-huh.
They're enemies to the U.S. Okay.
Uh-huh.
So we have no idea of what the real reality is with this virus. Now I'm saying all this. I know I'm overpacking folks in, and what I'm trying to say is you can't trust them. And why would you trust somebody that enslaved you for 400 years? And how do you know that they're going to tell you the truth? You think that they're telling you the truth because you're being impacted by the television, all right, CNN, MSNBC, and all the other networks, all right, that are telling you lies. And so, therefore, you believe the lies because they're pretty good. See, we don't realize that the people on those television anchor shows and all that are actors. We think that they are investigative reporters. They are not.
No.
And so, family, if you listen to this, they are not investigative reporters. All right? They are corporate tools, all right, of the people that own them. And they get a script. They get a script each day as to what to say. All right?
Absolutely.
And their job is to make sure that you believe what they say.
And the people that gave them the script have the agenda of killing off the people watching the program, which would be us.
Exactly. I'm glad you raised that because it's important. You say killing off. The people that were affected at the outbreak of COVID-19, particularly I noticed from statistic in Detroit and Chicago, 75% of the fatalities were black folks, okay? Older black people, but black folks, okay? Okay, now this makes sense because, number one, if you want to get rid of a population of people who are no longer contributing like they used to, all right, then you get rid of the older people who you're taking care of. Remember now they're on Social Security, getting Medicare, Medicaid, and all that other kind of stuff. I don't need them around. And it's not like I believe in the sanctity of life. How you believe in the sanctity of life and you just finished a 20-year war?
Right, right.
You're 20 years old. You in Afghanistan. You in Iraq. You all over. You sending military equipment all over the world. How do you believe in the sanctity of life? All right, so these people are not believing in the sanctity of life, and if in the family who you are listening, they do not believe in the sanctity of life, all you got to do is read through the lines. How many people have they killed? All right, they say it's been 600 people, 670,000 people that have died from the COVID-19 or the variants and all that other kind of stuff, all right? Uh-huh. Well, there's been early treatment, you know, that could have at least save the lives of at least 80% of those people.
Right.
But the whole idea of COVID was to bring about the vaccine. And the vaccine, all right, I'm saying it's directed at to people that they no longer want.
No doubt.
If I don't want them, all right, then I have to create something. So the COVID-19 was created in order to have the vaccine. The vaccine is created, and I'm saying it's very harmful. There's enough data coming from Israel to indicate, you know, that it's a very dangerous, and you're not getting the data from Israel. I get the data from Israel because I look for it. They don't put it on the news. And that data is telling you that for each person, supposedly, that is saved from the vaccine to die.
Mm-hmm.
I don't like those kind of arguments, all right?
Right. I can agree with you on that part. Like you said, for a number of years now, they have been saying the pension funds are out of money.
There you go.
Social Security is going to dry up. We don't have money for Medicare. We don't have money for Medicaid, and the insurance companies are broke, and all this other thing about people that owe the population money don't have it anymore. So what's the best thing to do? Get rid of the people they owe the money to. And I think that's what like you say, they generated a fear about COVID-19 with the intention of bringing forth the so-called vaccine so they could inject the people and kill them.
I'm a full disclosure. I am not a biological medical research scientist. I do read. I used to do research, but not necessarily in this area. I do know how to handle mathematics. I can read charts, all right, and I can collect data. And so I can read some of this stuff. But I listen to people who are expert at doing this other than the CDC, all right, or the FDA or the NIH and Fauci. Because Fauci, I mean, a whole bunch of people in NIH in particular, boy, got some serious conflict of interest because of the partnerships that they're having with private industry. In fact, Moderna has a partnership with NIH to produce their mRNA technology. So, you know, I have some serious issues with that. And so there's a whole bunch of conflict of interest, but they say that the average person in the U.S. don't know it. Black people don't know it because we're too busy trying to survive. We have time. Exactly. I mean, we can't focus on that. All right, so we're trying to survive. But I can focus on that because I'm slightly above the survival mode, and I have some opportunity working inside of Hulu to be able to collect some information, to share this information with our family out there and encourage them. If you want to see a change, you got to join Hulu because Hulu, all right, us lifting us, is the antidote for all of that. And it depends on you working with your brothers and sisters. You can't complain, go outside, and say, oh, they're treating me wrong. Well, you weren't brought over, your ancestors weren't brought over here to be treated right. All right? So, you know, you can't fear anything. The man is making it plain. Who would think that the Democratic Party is pushing the mandates? Which is the nullification of so-called rights. Now, there's a lot of lawsuits that are happening that probably members of the family are not aware of. Yeah, they're happening. But, you know, they take time. They take resources.
Right?
Right.
And, in fact, let me just indicate a few of them that are happening right now.
Okay.
Just to tell you, these are the things that are happening. In fact, see, white folks are more upset at this than we are, all right, because you have, all right, and that is because there are some white folks that they want to eliminate too. The major corporations want to remove the small and medium-sized businesses. Well, most of the small and medium-sized businesses are owned by white people. You get any picture, sister? All right, they don't care about blacks or Hispanics. That's incidental. It's owned by white folks. They were, so the white people are all upset. Okay, well, that's good. So let them fight out the battles, all right? But we have to focus on building ULU, all right? And while they are fighting, keeping our eyes on the fight. But let me just give you a couple examples of what's going on. Now, you know that Biden came out, you know, a few weeks ago and talked about the mandates, everybody get vaccinated in his administration. Mm-hmm. And interestingly, Biden came out, and what a lot of people don't know, Biden could only speak for the executive side of the government.
Exactly.
That has no power. He has no power over the congressional side or the jury or the judges. All right.
Right.
All right, so everybody thought everything in the federal government was under mandates. No, it was only everything under agencies that was under him. Okay, and I found out recently that over 50%, now you got it, over 50% of the professionals at NIH are not vaccinated. This was done by a whistleblower that came out with that information. Now, you understand what I'm saying? Now, either they know something that we don't know. Okay. But I'm already, you know, we just,
CDC.
CDC probably the same thing.
Yeah.
But anyway, let me, in Oregon, August 16th of this year, Oregon State Senator Ken Batcher and Dennis Lithicum jointly filed a formal petition for a federal government grand jury investigation into both Centers of Disease Control and Prevention and the U.S. Food and Drug Administration in the city of Medford, Oregon, Jackson. All right, so this letter indicated that there was falsification of information and misconduct by these two government agencies for inflating the data, the COVID disease data, which led to a lot of lockdown, okay?
Mm-hmm.
So they're calling for a grand jury investigation. That's criminal.
Right.
September 3rd, Trinidadian Dr. Michael McDowell explain how the COVID-19 bioweapon was created in a lab. Now, he called it a bioweapon, not that it was accidentally escaped, and he presented some papers. This was in Trinidad.
Uh-huh.
All right, and this was September 3rd. All right. There was a nationwide walkout to protest the vaccine on September 13th in New York. Parents and educators, you know, said they take, now these are white people. They might have a couple of black people there, but these are white folks, all right? Because they're getting the information, they have other information. We drink the Kool-Aid. In a live broadcast conducted on the 17th of September, the Food and Drug Administration Vaccine Advisory Committee met to debate and vote on Pfizer and BioNTech application to offer booster shots to the general public. This is what I was talking about. That meeting lasted for 8 hours, and the advisory voted 16-2 not to authorize Pfizer the booster shots.
Right.
So I'm saying this is going on. That came out a little bit in the news. You got about maybe 5 minutes of coverage. September 18th, All right? We will not comply. Okay. Thousand March. Now you got to check this out. You know, September 18th, just a few days ago, Thousand March mm-hmm. against COVID vaccine mandates in New York City. There were mm-hmm. thousands in New York City marching against the mandates. Did you see it? I didn't see it. The only thing I saw was a couple hundred folks, you know, who were protesting the January arrest of people who participated in that. You know, did you see him down on the mall? I mean, the whole coverage. You know, I'm being kind when I say 200 people. I'm being very kind.
Right.
But see, that was the news coverage. The thousands of people who protested in New York didn't. Family, you need to ask why you didn't get that information. Mm-hmm. On the same day, September 18th, hundreds are arrested and six cops are hospitalized with broken bones as the most violent COVID protests yet erupted in Melbourne, Australia. The same day.
Okay.
All right, now this is in Australia. Australia has much more serious rules than we have. These folks are saying, no, they ain't going for it. And I mean, I saw the video. These folks are fighting in the street. You know, it looked like us during the 60s and 70s.
All right.
You know, they were protesting the anti-lockdown protests, which erupted in Melbourne. Then that reached Richmond. They got a city called Richmond. It was throughout the country. All right. The police arrested 235, but it was thousands out there. I mean, they were blocking everything. They were doing everything. September 20th. I'm sorry. There was a whistleblower, an HHS Health and Human Service whistleblower, who were interviewed. All right, said that Department of Health and Human Services, all right, failed to acknowledge COVID risks and lack of efficacy. That's her. She came right out because she taped the video, you know, with her phone that they didn't see about how the HIDs were blocking information and collecting data of injuries sustained by people who took the vaccine. Okay. September 22nd, not that long ago, L.A. firefighters' lawsuit is aimed to repeal the mandate. So you got the firefighters in L.A., you got the police force in L.A. who are filing a lawsuit against the city. Okay. Now, I'm pointing this out only to point out to the members who are and family that are listening, we're not getting this information. Therefore, we cannot depend on this information. If you can't depend on this information, then you have to depend on yourself, all right, to protect yourself, because you cannot rely on the protection coming from these people, all right? You're not getting information about what, you're not getting information about the legality of things. Remember now, there is only one vaccine that has been licensed, all right, approved by FDA, and that was and it wasn't even Pfizer. It was Comirnaty by BioNTech. But BioNTech and Pfizer are supposed to be partners, but it's under the name of Comirnaty. Comirnaty is not in production, but that's the only one that's licensed to be distributed. But what's in production and in inventory is the Pfizer BioNTech COVID-19. Which is under the emergency use authorization. That's not mandatory. A lot of people don't know that.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people don't know that. All right, I'm passing and sharing this information. All right, family, I know you got a lot of stuff on your mind. I got a lot of stuff on your plate. All right, but there's other people who are researching. You just got to take that information and decide, what are you going to do with it? If you want to act alone, more than likely you'll be defeated. All right, think of Ulu, all right, as the antidote to those ills because we are producing an economy that I talked to you about earlier at the beginning of the show. And we need, in order to produce that, we need healthy people. We don't need people, all right, who are being what you call them, guinea pigs for experimentation, all right? Mm. We don't need people to take the jab, all right, and don't know what's going to happen to them 2 or 5 years from now as a consequence of the jab, all right? We need you to be healthy. That jab, in my opinion, is not healthy, all right? But now we can collectively together design what is necessary to be healthy. And to do that, you can go to our website, sign up, get more information. If you have those kind of skills to be able to research so that you can share with our people, we need you there. If you're not scared and you have those skills and you don't have to owe anybody, we need you there. All right. We need your contributions. All right. It's only $50 a year to join. All right. And you have opportunity to receive information. You have opportunity to share. You have opportunity to share on this show what you know. That's Dare to Win. And so I'm offering that. I only pointed out a few things. I got to stop here because we're running out of time. But I wanted to share that with the family and tell them, think of Hulu as the antidote to all those ills that you see running through the society, but it takes your participation. Thank you, sister. I know that I went over a little bit of my time, but, you know, I get a little bit passionate about this stuff sometimes.
Well, you know, we need the information. I think it's more important for you to share the information. We can go over time. That is not important. And I want to thank you for the excellent information you brought again tonight. So this has been Dare to Win. We will be back next Thursday night. We want to thank you, Brother Shabaka, for the excellent discussion. And we want to thank everyone that joined us tonight. And we look for folks to join us again Thursday night at 9 o'clock for another installment of Dare to Win. Peace, everyone.
Creator has a master plan. He one demand happiness through all the land.
Happiness.